I believe it was Brother Hans, Uncle Hans, that said that one of the greatest blessings that he had received was when God made him hungry and thirsty for Jesus. And so may God put that hunger in our hearts. Make us hungry and thirsty for Jesus. We've been considering in these days the truths that were the foundation for the Protestant Reformation. And just by way of maybe a little review, we began with the Bible. That all the truths that we need for life and to know who God is are found in this book. Scripture alone, the Word of God, the speaking voice, God speaking to us through His Word. Not only something that took place in the past, but God speaks to us today. And we want to hear His voice. We want our ears to be open. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. God is speaking. Another little quote that I was reminded of in regards to the Bible is that all the doctrines, all the truths in the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus. All the truths in the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus. And I trust that our hearts have been drawn to the Lord Jesus in these days. We want to know Him. We want to love Him. We want Him to reveal Himself to us, to come to us and fill us. Christ lives in me. Oh, what a salvation this. And then we consider the thought of grace and how it's all of grace. All the blessings that flow to us from Calvary are an expression of God's grace. His salvation is an expression of His love and grace for us. When we were helpless and hopeless, He stooped down and lifted us. He initiated this plan of salvation. It's all of God. And then we thought of the grace of our Lord Jesus. We read in Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty ye might be rich." That's grace in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace manifested to us by Jesus Christ. And so today, I'd like us to consider the thought of faith. And I believe all of these really go together because, you know, God saw our need. He saw the condition of man and He provides a Savior. He provides grace for us. He provides this full salvation, forgiveness of sin, sanctification, healing for the body, healing for the soul, a home in heaven. This is all of His grace, all part of His salvation plan. Being filled with the Spirit, an expression of His grace to us. And so what is my response? What is my response to this God, to His grace, to His Son? What is my response? Well, it's faith. It's faith. How are these riches of His grace mine? It's by faith. How is it that I'm saved? It's by faith. How is it that we're healed? It's by faith. How is it that we're filled with the Spirit? It's by faith. How is it that we can live the Christian life? It's by faith. And it's by faith in the Son of God. So I just have some verses. Maybe we could begin in Romans. I mentioned early on that our verse for this year at the camp, in light of just commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation was a verse that the Lord seemed to use to speak to Martin Luther. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's a power in the gospel. Because it's the word of the living God. It's his message. It's the good news that every man, every woman that comes into this world needs to hear. This thought of faith, from faith to faith. I've mentioned this before, so those of you who have heard it, I'm not going, senile yet or forgetful. But this thought of faith to faith, I think it speaks to us of the fact that we're saved by faith. That's the beginning. We have our sins forgiven. We enter into this new life in Christ, and it's by faith. But then how is that life sustained? How is it that I can be a Christian? How is it that I can be a representative of Christ in this world? How is it that I can walk in the ways that please him? Is it somehow now something that I have to do? It's in my strength now. I'm saved. Now I have the ability to do everything that God wants me to do, whenever he wants me to do it. I'm able. No, it's by faith. It's a life of faith. The Christian life, the Christ life, is lived by the faith of the Son of God because he lives in me. And so it's not my strength. It's not my effort. Thank God that he gives us strength. Thank God that he gives us grace. Thank God he gives power. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But it's by faith that I walk. I walk by faith, not by sight. That means I walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. A little further down in the book of Romans in chapter 3. This is what it says. But now, this is the 21st verse of the third chapter of Romans, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now that's what I meant last night when I said I believe in inclusiveness. You see, because God says whosoever will, right? So if God says whosoever will, how can I exclude anyone? There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The thing that God intended when he made us, we failed in achieving. Sin entered the world. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The apostle goes on and he speaks about Abraham. We heard a little bit about that in the talk that Uncle Hans gave yesterday afternoon. It was taken from this fourth chapter of Romans. And the idea that Abraham believed God. The fourth chapter begins with that thought, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him, it was credited to him for righteousness. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He goes on and makes that argument, as it was. If someone works for something, then you owe it to him. You know, you owe him his day's pay. If he's worked for it, you need to pay him. But that's not the way it is. We have not earned this grace of God, this salvation. Abraham believed God. And that's how he became righteous before God. How is it that you and I become righteous before God? Well, see, I was born into a pastor's home. I have a good heritage. Me and Heidi. I mean, Heidi and I. No, we all come through the one gate, the one way, because all have sinned. All have sinned. And so we come by faith in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in His sacrifice, His death, His risen life. Romans 4, verse 13, it says this: for the promise that he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. 16, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. You see, these things all go together, right? So faith, that it might be of grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so here again, God says it's not just to the Jew, it's not just to those who had the law, but it's to you and me who believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Father of us all by faith. The only acceptable, proper response to the grace of God is faith. Yesterday, Uncle Hans spoke about the trial that Abraham had. He had a promise. He was going to have a son. How long did he wait? 25 years, is it? 25 years. That's a long time. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was fully persuaded that what God said, he was able to perform. And it wasn't just a difficult situation. It was impossible. It was impossible. But God. Yes. So somehow he was given that grace to keep his eyes upon not only the promise, but the God who made the promise.
Yes.
Just one other passage in Romans, in the beginning of the 5th chapter. It begins with this: therefore being justified, how? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think the idea there is not that it's a tranquil relationship, as it were. I come into a state of tranquility. But that this peace with God means that the enmity that existed no longer exists. You see, before we were enemies with God. Now we are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's a wonderful word, access. It's nice when you go to the ATM and you put your card in and you actually get money out. It's an awful feeling when it says access denied or zero balance or whatever it may be. Negative balance for some of us. But just think, by faith we have access into all that God has provided for us in Christ. You know, we didn't have the time last night to look into it, but it says that in Christ God has put all the fullness of the Godhead in Him. And you are complete in who? In Him. And by faith we are able to access, as it were, the riches of Christ's grace. They're at our disposal, freely given to those who believe. I told you I've been reading again the little book, The Pursuit of God. And there's a chapter in that book entitled The Gaze of the Soul. I remembered, now I'm going to just take a little aside and come back to that. I remembered, Brother Paul, it was not the acronym for grace. It was an acronym for faith. So what's faith? We had grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And what was faith? Forsaking all, I trust Him, right? Forsaking all, I trust Him. Well, here was the one that Sister Jean came home with from camp. It was for faith. It was forwarding all issues to heaven. It's got the more, you know, the modern technology, you know, we forward email, so we forward things, we forward text. So we're forwarding all issues to heaven. That's not part of what I want to say, though, but this, I thought you'd like that. Oh, the first one was forsaking all, I take Him. Oh, I trust Him. I trust. Pastor Ernie, who happens to be one of my cousins. I know you realize that because we look alike, same height and everything. You laugh at that, but I have another cousin who has the same name as I, Philip. Don't know how that happened, but... So Pastor Ernie, not too long ago, he gave me a little keychain. He said, I have a few extra of these, though maybe you'd like it. And on that keychain was a tiny little seed. And the verse was, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be moved. That's tiny. Yes. Sometimes we think somehow, again, that we have to work up this great faith to make things happen. And Jesus says you just have to have faith. Like that tiny little mustard seed. So how does this work? Again, like I said, there are many things I don't understand. And I'm not saying I understand faith this morning completely. But I got this picture. That it's not my faith or the size of my faith. But it's in the thing or the one that I place my faith. And so it's not, again, looking to see if I have enough faith, as it were, but it's looking to the one who I'm placing my faith in. You see, faith has an object in view. And so getting back toward to A.W. Tozer, the gaze of the soul. This is his definition. Want to write down a definition for faith that maybe you've never heard before? It's this. Faith is the gaze of the soul upon a saving God. The gaze of the soul upon a saving God. Now, the idea there is when you gaze upon something, it's not just, you know, you look this way and then you look away. But when you gaze upon something, you kind of fix your eyes on that thing and you continue to look at it. It's like when I first saw my wife. And so you fix your eyes on that thing and you look and you continue to look. And so the story that I'd like to just call your attention to just briefly this morning is a story, and we'll probably look at other things, but this account in the Old Testament. It's found in Numbers, chapter 21. Beginning at verse 4, it says this, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now this is an account of the children of Israel after they had been brought out of the Egypt. "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." What were they speaking of, this light bread? What were they speaking of? Manna. God's provision for them, miraculous. And here they were complaining. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Venomous, poisonous snakes. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee.' Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now, why is that story so significant? When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Jesus referred to this story in speaking of his own death, crucifixion. And so this story in the Old Testament foreshadows, shows us this idea of faith. I was going to ask for a choir song this morning, you know, one of those impromptu. And just time got away from us. So you're, those of you who I would have called on, are you're fortunate. But be ready, because I might do it again. But the song was Look and Live. I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. A message unto you I give. And what's the message? The message is simply look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. And see, that's faith. That's faith. My eyes are upon Jesus. We look away from the problem. We look away from the difficulty. We look away from the trial, the sickness, whatever situation we are, we look away from that and we look to Jesus. And we continue to look to Jesus. So simple, right? And yet at times we find it so difficult. Because we're so fixated with the natural and all the things that we see. And looking away to Jesus is a spiritual thing. Just one other place to turn in your Bibles. Let's just go to Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, we really have the only, if you want to call it, a definition that the Bible gives of faith. Beginning at verse 1, and we won't read the chapter, but just let's take a look at what it says here. Now, faith, just so we know it, as I'm going to go back just a little bit. You know, there are no breaks in the book, right? These are somewhat, I don't want to say artificial breaks, but they are. So if you just go back a little bit, we have that verse that is quoted from the Old Testament. Now the just shall live by faith. You see? If any man draw back, my soul shall not have any pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. Believe to the saving of the soul. Then he goes on now, and now he talks about faith. See, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, does that help you? I mean, that's the definition that the Bible gives. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think the best, maybe, rendering of that, or you know, the different commentaries you can read on these things, is that faith substantiates, is that word substance, right? It substantiates the things that are not seen, but that are real. It makes them real to us. We don't see. We don't see God. We don't see with the natural, the Lord Jesus. We don't see things with our natural eyes, but faith makes those unseen realities, the eternal things, the invisible things, real to us. It makes it ours. And then the rest of this chapter, this rest of this passage, the writer shows us not necessarily what faith is, but what faith somehow accomplishes. Or what people of God and men and women of God were able to accomplish through faith, by faith. And you can go down through that chapter. By faith, Abel, what does it say? Offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his household. And so it comes back to that thought that this life, this Christian life, this walk with God is accomplished by faith. God enables us to receive that grace, but it's by faith, by looking unto Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus. By faith, Abraham, he got up and God told him to go, and what did he do? He got up and he went. It doesn't make any sense. But God was moving him out, and so by faith he followed, he obeyed, he went. It says not, he didn't know where he was going. And by faith, Sarah was able to conceive. By faith, the children of Israel overcame at Jericho. By faith, the harlot Rahab was saved. And her house, by faith. Moses, by faith, what did he do? He forsook Egypt. By faith, the Red Sea was opened. By faith. I like it when it gets there to the end and it says, by faith, out of weakness, they were made strong. Have you found yourself in that place of weakness? It goes back to this thought of, I need the Lord, about being poor in spirit, recognizing my dependence upon Him. Out of weakness, made strong. The 11th chapter is followed by the 12th chapter. And at the beginning of the 12th chapter, here it is now. Everything that's come before, speaking about faith and these heroes of faith. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, endurance, that race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here it is, looking unto Jesus. The gaze of the soul upon a saving God. And so I'm encouraged this morning, not in my amount of faith, but that I have a great God. I have a great Savior. And so it's my responsibility not to look to myself, not to try harder, but to somehow simply look to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Now, I know that doesn't just happen. We can talk about this morning. It doesn't mean it just happens. We need to begin by getting into His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, I want to hear You speak. Lord, I need revelation. We can pray that way. God, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That spirit of revelation is given to reveal Christ to us. That we would see this great, wonderful Savior. We sang that at the very beginning of the meeting this morning. Hallelujah. What a Savior, our great Savior. And so whatever our need may be, maybe it seems impossible. Lord, help us to look away, unto Jesus. To fix our eyes upon You. It seems that this sin that so doth easily beset us is unbelief. The indictment of the children of Israel was that they did not believe their God. But whatever God has promised, He's able to perform. And so, Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes this morning. We want to see Jesus. Lord, we might not understand how this all, as it were, works. You know, we try to figure it out, Lord, but we can't. But we want to simply obey. You've said, look and live. And so open our eyes, our inner eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see You, to see this great Savior, and to put our trust fully upon You. We know, Lord Jesus, that You are completely trustworthy. We know that You never fail. And so we ask that by Your Holy Spirit, You would write these things upon our hearts. God, not just something in our heads, but something in our hearts. That we would go from this place knowing that, first of all, You are with us, that You are in us, and that You are able. Yes, Lord. Give us that assurance. Give us that assurance that You are able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. And Lord, if we need a new sight, God, I pray that You'd open our eyes, that we would see You. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of faith, looking to ourselves, looking to others. Remove unbelief from our hearts. Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rested upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Oh, Jesus. can take our hymn books and open to 192. I feel it's always right for us to respond to the Word of God. And so if you feel like you need to just take from the Lord this morning the grace and help that He wants to give by faith, maybe there's a need that you're facing, would you just stand, and we're going to sing that second verse together, but just as an act of, again, faith, to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, You know my need. You know the difficulty I face, but I'm looking up to You this morning. And then we're all going to just pray together. We want to believe for one another that God would minister just what's needed of His salvation. So if there's anyone like that, as we sing this second verse, just stand.
May Thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire as Thou hast died for me.
Jesus. Now it's all right if you would just look around. Those of you who are standing and all of us, you can open your eyes a moment. Let's just see those who are standing. And let's just bring them before the Lord now in prayer. Dear God, dear God, dear God, dear God, You're able. Lord, You're able for everyone.
Lord, you're able for every need. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we all can pray. Let's just all lift our voices. Oh, God, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. Oh, Jesus, you are the God of what seems impossible, Lord. Nothing is too hard for me, Lord. You said that in your word. Oh, God, our faith looks up to you this morning. God, we pray not only for ourselves, we pray for one another, Lord. We stand with one another. God, expecting to see your glory, to see you work in our lives, to do things that we could not do for ourselves. Dear God, you're able to work changes in us, to change situations. God, to bring about healing. Oh, God, to bring about reconciliation. God, whatever is needed, Lord. Lord, your salvation is provided for every one of our needs, and we thank you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. By faith, we look to you. Lord Jesus, our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do. But Lord, our eyes are upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe it would be good if others would just pray out. Someone pray. Pray for us. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh,
thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Thank you that as we look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, you brighten our path, oh, God. You fill our vision. You enable us to see that, oh, God, you are able for every one of our needs. And we pray, oh, God, help us, Lord. Anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. Oh, God, see that you are able. See that you are able to make the changes in us that we need, oh, God. To give us that victory we heard about, oh, God. And see us through, oh, God. Make us more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can draw near to you and you have drawn near to us. And we thank you for the help you're giving, O God, for your presence here to enable us and meet everyone, give everyone the full victory, O God.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that you know our frame and you remember that we are dust.
Amen.
You know, O Lord, our shortcomings. You know how weak our faith may be. But today we take faith from you. We take your faith.
Yes, Lord.
The faith of the Son of God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
yes,
Jesus,
Lord.
Help us to rise. Help us to be more than conquerors.
Oh,
and
you
loved us. Lord, you have victories for us. You have the You have done the victory. You have completed the victory for us. And so let us rise in faith. Take all that you have for us this morning.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God can calm the troubled sea.
Thank you.
physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. Salvation by my
Hallelujah. Now our evening or our afternoon meal is at 12:30. But before we go this morning, we like to greet one another, and that's well and good. But would you pray with someone before you left this morning? Could you find someone to pray with? You know, the Bible says, pray one for another, that we may be healed. It doesn't have to be long. But let's just let's have that faith for one another. It's an expression of His love for us. Amen. We're called to have faith and love for each other. So let's just do that. God bless you.